With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Football is off and running in Auburn. Let's talk about it on this live edition of the UpTempo Podcast.
You are now listening to the War Report Podcast Network.
What's up, Auburn family? I'm your host, Dustin Smith, joined as always by my guy, Blake Landon. Tonight, we are here to talk about our Auburn Tigers, Blake, who free stepped up to the podium today, kind of informed us on some things that are going on, told us about some guys that are balling, talked about the culture and how he thinks it's changing a little bit. We're going to get into all of it, man. But first off, we got this Auburn baseball game on. Our boys are down to the Jags right now, your hometown squad. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm not doing okay because I think we're playing piss poor baseball. I'll be honest with you. I don't see it right now. I don't see what I saw in Jacksonville, and I'll say it's a piss poor showing right now. And I think some guys who have been in that program a little while need to step up and get it together. You got swept opening weekend last year. You got swept this year. Band together, man. Be a tight-knit group because right now you're struggling. It's showing in the field. Our defense is horrendous. It's bad. It's bad, bad. Like, I've seen better defenses in high school right now. I mean, just being honest with you, I'm super tough on that baseball program, and our pitching is just pitiful. Pitiful. If we can't throw strikes and we're constantly hitting guys and we're behind in counts and stuff, we're not going to make it out of SEC play. We can forget hosting a regional. We got to get better. And I trust Bruce. Butch. I'm still thinking about Nashville and that tournament championship. I trust Butch, and I trust this staff. I trust Gabe and the hitting ability of this team. I think it's there. We just got to find it. But the stretch doesn't get any easier, Dustin.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be doing, when we get done here, we'll be dropping our baseball episode. I'm sure it's going to be a fiery one. They got to turn it up. But we are here tonight, man, to talk about this football. Before we do, we're going to play some clips of what Hugh Freeze talked about today. I want to get over here and talk to our people, man. Our guy Trevor is in the building tonight, as he always is. What's up to you, Trevor? Daniel in the building. It sounds to me like Thorne will be starting in 24. We're gonna play a clip of you talking about the QBs. We'll definitely get into that, Daniel. I'm glad that you're here with us, brother. Brett, always, man, he never misses a show. Our guy Miller is in the house tonight. War Dan from Huntsville, Rocket City, baby. Yes, sir. All right, Blake. So Hugh Freeze steps up, man, and he gets asked right out the gate by our guy Mike G about, hey, it's your offense now. No Phillip Montgomery. What's the identity of this offense? What's it going to look like? Here's what Hugh had to say.
Been our best, and he was with me for a while, and obviously Kent's been with me, and Ben's been with me, Mo's been with me, and we got a lot of people in that room, and we're going back to our terminology that we're all comfortable with, and that we think we can make adjustments. But ideally, when we've been very good, it's been, you know, that 55% run to 45% pass. And if you had that ideal percentage, I think it means you're pretty effective. I mean, some games are skewed a little bit. And if you're running it really, really well, then it may be more 60-40. But you got to be able to do both and stay balanced. And I do think that if we can be consistent in our RPO game, that it really opens up us to be more effective in the passing game, because you're not always having to drop back protect, which I just don't think that's a great recipe in this league. If you're having to call a bunch of drop back protections, usually that other side is a little more athletic and can figure out a way to outnumber you. That's the key to me to staying balanced, is us being able to run the ball and throwing the ball off of run actions where you're not having to vertical pass set a whole lot. So that's hopefully what our identity will be.
All right, Blake, as you hear that, man, just kind of give me your initial thoughts.
I think it's going to be a completely different show this year. I think you're going to see Hugh Freeze take the reins. He's going to take over, and he's going to be calling the plays and calling the shots. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of rotation at quarterback. I think he's going to pick a guy out the gate. I do think it'll be Peyton Thorne. I think he's going to roll with that. And, yeah, at times we got away from the RPO game, Dustin. At times it was just – let's be honest, it was a blunder. Just not everybody in sync, man. You had guys, we were seven games into the season, guys still lining up incorrectly. That can't happen. Does that happen with the big time programs? Georgia, Alabama, you know, do you see those guys doing it? Brian Kelly down there at LSU, do you see those guys doing it? No, that's not how it goes. And I think Hugh really senses – I think Hugh senses the fan base, and he says, hey, look, it's time. Like, we had to make some changes. These guys, they're eager to win. Like, they're hungry. They're hungry. I'm hungry, all right? I think Hugh Freeze is hungry himself, and I think he's taking that step forward to really take over, name a guy, you know, and let him be your quarterback. I don't want to see any of us getting to the 50-yard line and we pick up a first down and we're rotating quarterbacks. Then bang, false start. You know, I want to see Hugh run his offense. I saw him run an offense with Bo Wallace, all right, and be effective. Mm-hmm. So if he can do it with Bo Wallace, he can do it with Peyton Thorne or somebody else, whoever the quarterback is, whoever it may be. All right. If he can put up 30 points a game with Bo Wallace at Ole Miss, he can do it with whoever we got here, anybody on this roster in that quarterback room. And I think that's what you're going to see this year. Like you said, we're going to run the football. We're still going to run the football, Dustin.
Yeah, gotcha. Right?
You're going to see the RPO where at times we went away from it and we didn't believe in it. And I think that was kind of the disconnect last year, was you saw that. And in the middle of games, you would see something, it would be working, then all of a sudden, Phillip Montgomery, bang, we're butting heads, and then you're in press conferences saying, oh, well, I called the last drive of that game and we won, so it looks like you're throwing your offensive coordinator under the bus, and it's just all this back and forth stuff. I think Hugh senses that he has to move quick, fast, and in a hurry, because if you don't start winning this year, like I said last Tuesday night, you don't start winning this year and you let your boy right across the state, mm-hmm. you let him get going and get rolling, it could be trouble, Dustin.
When you talk about him kind of sensing the urgency and the angst of the fan base, I saw some comments on that today too. And I saw a couple people kind of make the comment that they think a lot of what happened that day in Nashville played a big part of that. Like, it may have been a big wake-up call. What do you think about that?
Well, I can tell you this. The Auburn fans weren't happy. Yeah. We got blitzed by Maryland. And really and truly, I think what kind of led up to this is we heard that, well, it's a bowl game. I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to push them too hard. We're going to enjoy it. And then you go out and you get blitzed by, let's be honest, a basketball school. That's what they're known for, Maryland. All right. They've been really good at basketball for years, and their football program has not had a whole lot of success. All right. And you get blitzed. You're down 21 to nothing in the blink of an eye. And the fans are sitting here going, well, we've had all these losing seasons. And leading up to this game, you told us that we were having fun and you really wasn't going to worry about it. And the guys were going to have a blast. We were going to be happy to be there. And then you come out and you lay an egg and you get beat to sleep by Maryland. I think that's when the fans started saying, like, hey, dog, this can't happen. Like, this right here, you just got blitzed by New Mexico State in one of the best environments in college football. And then you want to lay this on me? You want to get blitzed by Maryland with their backup quarterback, their second and third string quarterback. It wasn't even Talia Tungavaloa. Yeah. It was their second and third string guy. Their defense looked better. All right. Their offense looked better. Were they a step ahead because of the mic and the helmet and we were still using signals? I don't want to hear that crap. All right. We were 13 games in. I don't want to hear it. All right. That's out the window for me. I think the urgency is now, and he sensed that. I'm with you on that in Nashville. I think he looked around and he felt the room and he said, hey, vibes aren't good in here right now. All right. Because then you get online and what do you start hearing? Well, that Harsin, he did the same thing. So that Harsin, he went 6-7. So what is Hugh doing? And I know it's crazy. It's Hugh's first year. I get it. Not comparing him to Harsin. I'm just giving you a little taste of what people say online.
Right.
Is people start throwing that out really quick. And that's what, if you go back out there again this year and you do it again, Dustin, hello, where are we at? We're right back to that same old discussion. And I'm with you on that 100%. I couldn't agree more on your point about Nashville and the Maryland game and just the whole vibes, because you made a great point the night before the game, and you went to the Battle of the Bands and everything, and you sent a video, and the Auburn fans brought it.
Oh, like, yeah. It was there.
Yeah, the atmosphere was there. And you made a great point of when you watched Tiger walk, the guys looked like they didn't give a piss.
I told y'all in the group chat we were going to lose at Tiger Walk.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that. And you said, hey, vibes are off. It doesn't look like this team is ready to play. And then we hear after the game that, oh, well, we were just excited to be here. You know, I mean, I think he's got to look around and say, hey, I can't come out in year two and put up a performance like that. Can't happen. Because now, I'm telling you this. This Auburn fan base is so hungry that if you come out and you lose to a Cal or an Arkansas in that first stretch before you get to Oklahoma, oh boy, Dustin,
yeah,
it's gonna get hot.
Yeah, I think too. You know, part of what the fans coming into Nashville was the way the Iron Bowl happened.
Yep.
Like, just to lose in that kind of fashion and in such heartbreak. Not even that you lost the Iron Bowl. If they would have just beat us, that would have been like, okay, it would have sucked. But but to lose it when you had it like that, and then to come out in Nashville, and everybody had talked about the month going up into it, like, okay, man, we convinced ourselves as a fan base. The winning season. This is a step forward because it's a winning season. We don't want to have three of these in a row. And then there's that. So, yeah, I do think that the New Mexico State obviously didn't help. And then that epic Iron Bowl collapse. And then the season ends with that. Yeah, definitely looked around and said, okay, I know how this works in the SEC. I've been around this game long enough to know that I'm coming into next year now and things got to get to working. And tying that all back into the offense and having his identity, you went 12 games really without – really having an identity as an offense. So then if you're not going to go up into Maryland all of a sudden and like have it figured out, it's just bowl practice isn't going to do that, right? When you're letting young guys get reps and all that kind of thing. It's just got to be. Now, he did make a point later in the press conference where he said, I got to continue to work on receiver core and get the right receivers, the right receivers to make this all work. Mm. Now, that's a big, big part of it. And when he mentioned, he was asked also about some guys that stood out on offense, he mentioned Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, Cam Brown have been guys that have been balling. Mm. Well, there's three receivers. Now, last year, I'll tell you what we didn't hear about. We heard some Cam Brown a couple days, but you didn't hear consistent every day you weren't hearing about receivers, different receivers being the standouts.
Yeah.
And by the way, I would like to mention that every single time Cam Coleman has been mentioned when it comes up as offensive standouts, regardless of what offensive coach has been asked, I have not watched an interview yet where they have not said Cam Coleman. But we all know that. I'm not going to keep talking about that every day, right? We know what it is. But just be excited because the hype is real, baby.
No doubt.
For sure. But Hugh's got to, man. We saw it happening. The Ole Miss game was a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it happening in real time. The quarterback swaps, all that kind of stuff. The torture that we've been through as Auburn fans to go through 2 years in a row of switching quarterbacks out mid-drive, this 2-QB system. We know as much as anybody, it don't work. So, you know, I see people in the comments, we'll get to you all in a second, saying, like, you think it's Peyton Thorne. Me and you agree on that. I've said last week, I don't even think it's a competition, man. I think it's PTs. And it sounds like, though, he's been playing the best. So let's get over there. Hugh was asked about the quarterbacks, and this is what he had to say.
It's been really good. It's been inconsistent. We've had a couple of practices where the wind was like tough situations to throw in. But I think we've got to improve just our decision-making has not been – exactly what I want it to be just yet, but boy, they're hungry to learn. Peyton's have been pretty good. The other three are, you know, it's new to a lot of them. They're getting thrown into the fire against a lot of different looks that our defense is presenting. But I love the way they're approaching it. They can't get enough meeting time. They want to learn. They want to be effective at it. I think there was in our tempo period the other day, we were really good. Then when we got into the second and long, third and long, we were we struggled. Some of that had to do with protection issues too, and us not winning in certain routes, and sometimes our quarterback's eyes were hanging too long and not going through the progressions as fast as it needed to go. So we've got some improvement to do there, but fairly pleased to this point. Really with all four of them. Walker is obviously swimming. Everything's brand new to him, but, boy, he shows flashes, as does Hank and Holden, too, at times. But Peyton is still the most consistent, probably, and should be. He's had the most reps and the most understanding of what defenses can do to you.
So here's my question when I hear this, because there's no doubt that after listening to that starting quarterback last year is leading the charge again this year, right? Yep. Here's my question. When, and take in mind, like I just said, I think it's Peyton Thorne starts game one. But when he talked about the other three, and he said they have their flashes, and not necessarily Walker White, because we all kind of have our measured expectations for him. Mm-hmm. But in terms of Hank Brown and Holden, as the terminology, as they get familiar with Hugh's terminology, as we get later into the spring, maybe even into fall camp, when they've had a whole summer to really digest it, does their play pick up then? Is Peyton Thorne just so much more consistent right now because he's a coach's kid that started Power 5 football for 3 years? So a switch up of terminology doesn't really affect him as much as it does a Hank Brown, who's only got 1 year under his belt, you know, a Holden who still has never started. How much does that come into play? That'll be interesting to me, but I think that Holden was coming into the spring as the guy that was the favorite and the leader. And listening to that, I think he's just kind of steady pulling away. If there was really any kind of competition, it sounds to me like, all right, now you've made a great point throughout the spring process. When it comes time for A-Day at noon or 1 o'clock, whatever it is in Jordan-Hare Stadium, And if let's hope that the sun is out and it's good weather.
Right.
And they get to sling that pigskin around a little bit, because I don't want to hear no excuses about when they get to sling it around a little bit. And then let's see. Because if Peyton Thorne is having the most consistent practices, if he's the best in practice from a day-to-day standpoint, and then he comes out here in A-Day and he goes 11 for 15, two touchdowns and no turnovers, there you go, buddy. Even if Holden and Hank Brown look good, he's fine. But if he has all these consistent practices, because we don't see the practices, and people, and some of us, we can ask people that are there, what'd you see? But even there, they're getting media windows, right?
Yep.
And even if we sat in every single practice and watched every single rep of every practice, what does that tell us about a game? Because even coaches will tell you there's guys that just get in the game and just ball, bro. They're just gamers.
Yep.
So let's say that he has this great spring and then gets into A-Day and poops the bed again. Looks bad. And then Hank Brown, all of a sudden, he's the one that has the best day. It's going to have the fans looking around going one of two things. Either A, he's a practice hero, game time zero, like I saw somebody say on Twitter today, or the evaluation, are the evaluations off? Are you really seeing in practice what you say you're seeing? Are you biased? All those kind of questions will come into play. So, again, to the point that you've made for weeks now, Peyton Thorne has got to come into A-Day, slam the door shut on this thing. And another one of your points that you've been making, I don't think that being a vocal leader would hurt him, because we hear about his leadership and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that being vocal on the field and being kind of loud and hype, it wouldn't be the worst thing for Peyton Thorne. I think the fans kind of need to see him in that atmosphere, in the stadium, be that guy. And I'm not asking him to be some rah-rah, you know, like a Johnny Manziel type out there. That's not his personality. That's fine. You ain't got to be Jameis Winston, right? But you definitely ain't got to be Jameis Winston. I do a little too far. I do a little too far on the spectrum, right? But you got to have some consistency, bro. And there's got to be some juice with it. And it can't just be the standard coach's son going to answer the question the right. Like, at some point, you know, like, I wouldn't have mind seeing Peyton Thorne kind of get in some people the way Brady used to do on the sideline a little bit last year. I think there were times that definitely should have happened. And I'll tell you when it should have happened in New Mexico State. Nobody on that sideline, I was at the game, unfortunately, nobody on that sideline really walked up to that offensive line and said what needed to be said. Maybe a coach did at some point. I'm not saying that like Jake Thornton did or Hugh didn't walk, but like a quarterback needs to be in there and be like, hey, man, why are you guys that were able to stand up with Georgia on the line of scrimmage getting pushed around versus New Mexico State? That's an effort thing. That's just an effort thing. That's all that is. Either that or we're getting out-schemed by New Mexico State, and then we got serious issues that will show themselves down the line pretty soon. I think it's an effort thing, especially after going back and watching the game a couple more times. It just looked like guys really weren't putting it all out. They walked into that stadium on a three-game winning streak, thinking we're about to go 7-4 and we'll be ready for that Iron Bowl.
Yep.
And I'm saying all that to say, if you're the quarterback, man, you got to be in control of that. So he's got to come out here at 8-8, Blake. He's got to continue to put these practices together. Because remember, even last year, we weren't hearing this. We were hearing one day Peyton Thorne's the best, the next day Holden's the best. Sounds like Holden's kind of been the guy right now. And one, my question, like I said, is terminology. How much is that going to come into play here, and him being the older guy? But just he's got to come out of A-Day and kill it, right, Blake? Can't leave no doubt.
Yeah. So one thing I want to touch on real quick about Peyton being that vocal leader, and I'm with you, because there was times last year where I just saw a lot of like head hanging down on the sidelines and. I want to go back to if you've ever watched the ride along in the 2010 season, Auburn was losing to Clemson 17-0. All right, so Cam is in the locker room and a bunch of dudes have towels over their heads and everything. The whole vibes were way down, and he said that as they were walking in the locker room, he heard somebody say, "That's okay. Like the next drive, like we're gonna score." And Cam looked at everybody in the eyes and he said, bump that. All right. Bump that. I don't want to hear that the rest of the night. All right. The next drive, there ain't no, oh, we'll get it next time. This next drive, we will score. All right. That sometimes you just got to say, hey, I'm going to step up and I'm going to be a leader. I see too many hands in the shoulder pads when things ain't going right. Mm-hmm. And sitting on the sideline. And sometimes, hey, Tom Brady used to get in Julian Edelman's ass, all right? Yes, just straight up. Hey, you're two professionals. And when you mess up, I'm on you, all right? Because I expect better out of you.
Mike period. Evans, Blake. I watched him chew Mike Evans a couple times.
Yes. It's, hey, you gotta be that guy, all right? I've watched Nick Saban run off the field at A.J. McCarron when he was up 38 against Mississippi State and just absolutely lay into his backside and said, hey, I know we're up 38, and I know you're the backup quarterback, but guess what, all right? It's coaching time, all right? I'm preparing you to be a leader. Guess what? When A.J. took over, he was that guy. He was that leader. You remember in the national championship, him and Barrett Jones? All right, they're beating the piss. They're beating the piss out of Notre Dame, and they get into it. All right, a minute left in the game, and they get into it. So it's things like that. I want to see more fire out of Peyton. I do think that Peyton's got to come in, and he's got to show out at A-Day, because if he doesn't, then it's going to start. Well, we've been hearing that Peyton's the most consistent guy. We've been hearing that Peyton was pulling away. He was, you know, taking the reins of QB1. And then you got Peyton coming out here and he can't go 8 of 17, you know, in 8A and throw a pick or anything like that. Like, it's gotta, like you said, he's gotta come out, he's gotta go 14 of 21, something like that, 14 of 20, you know, and he's gotta look good, man. He's gotta look crisp, sharp, and he's gotta look ahead of schedule. He's gotta look better than Hank and Holden. Because you know where I sit with Walker. I know a lot of people are really, really high on Walker. I'm really high on Walker. But I don't want to see Walker play as a true freshman. I don't, y'all. I just think it's a recipe for disaster. It's not good in this conference. And it's been proven. All right? And if it comes to that, I think we're looking at a really, really disappointing year. And I think he's one of the most talented kids in the country. Don't get me wrong. And I think he's got huge upside at Auburn. But I do not want to see him play. What I want to see is, I know a lot of you don't like it, but I want to see Peyton Thorne take the reins and absolutely run with it in his final season. And it looks right now, what we're hearing is he's making progress. Now, like Dustin said, we heard that last year, and, you know, that wasn't the case. But who knows? I see people in the comments, they say, well, if you feel the urgency, like, why do you go back with Peyton? But I feel like Hugh brought Peyton in for a reason, and he feels comfortable with Peyton. And when you go back and look at things, should Peyton have won the Iron Bowl, Dustin? Yeah. Did he play great in the Iron Bowl? No. But should he have won it? Yeah, I mean, he did enough. He did enough to win it. He had Auburn in a position to win.
I think he did enough to beat Georgia. It just people around him failed.
There you go. He did enough against Georgia. He had Auburn in a position to win, with a chance, an opportunity to win. All right. Yeah, you had the New Mexico State thing. He had Ole Miss within a score. Like, I know that was a lot of back and forth with Robbie and everything, but look, we had an opportunity to win. I tell you, one of the biggest knocks on me with Peyton last year and the most disappointing things was his effort in Baton Rouge, and I still ain't let that one go.
No, you shouldn't.
That to me, and Dustin knows, everybody that watches this show knows, I was Peyton, but that night in Baton Rouge, I said, look, something's not right. It's not clicking. Something's not there. And I can't see that again this year, Dustin. So whatever it is, when I show up to A-Day, my main focus my number, I don't want to say my main focus. I'll say the biggest thing that I want to see is, has Peyton taken that next step? Can he be that leader? Can he play well and really shut down all the talk about who's going to be quarterback one? And can he take grasp of this team and say, hey, let's go compete for a championship. All right, let's shock the world, man. Nobody believes in us. They're all doubting us again. All right, you're hearing people. I'm already hearing people on Twitter put out power rankings. Oh, we're in March and we're putting out power rankings. And guess where Auburn's at, y'all? We're in the bottom half of those power rankings.
Well, that's where I put us, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. But do you want to be there? No, I don't. I want Peyton Thorne to come out, because I think if Peyton Thorne comes out and takes that next step, I think Auburn could compete. I think Auburn could win 9 games. But I got to see him take that next step, Dustin.
Yeah, I think an important part of this conversation is the first clip we played of you talking about the identity of the offense. Yep. So, like, we've said some things kind of harsh about Hugh and Peyton here in this podcast, but going to be fair to both of them. Like, last year just didn't work. You know, I think that Hugh made what he thought was the right decision in bringing in Phil Montgomery. I don't think it was a bad decision. I can understand his thought process. Didn't work. And I was pretty skeptical of it from the beginning. Like, you're one of the best play callers, in my opinion, in the country, top 10. And you should be calling the plays. You should be calling the plays. And you should be involved in the scheme and all that kind of stuff, because I think that my whole thing with it was always, and you guys know, it's what you've been doing. So I just don't want to – if you've been doing something one way your whole entire career, don't get to Auburn and switch up on us, dude. And then I think he did it. He saw the results, and he said, nope, we're going to do my thing now. We're going to go down doing my thing if we're going down, or we're going to go up doing my thing. But we're going to go one way or the other doing my thing. And that's an important part of the conversation with PT. Because, or whoever the quarterback is, because whoever has been the last 2 years really has not had a fair shot. I'm not here to say TJ Finley was the greatest quarterback ever. Didn't have a fair shot. Bo Nix, like, he got a fair shot to get his reps, but as far as a fair shot to be in a competent offense and be on a winning team and put up numbers and have a team around him to help him, no, because you saw what happened when he got one. It looked a lot different. So Auburn just hasn't ever. There's a reason that you've had 2,000-3,000-yard passers ever. Because you're not, more times than not, you're not putting your quarterback in position to succeed. You're not putting your quarterbacks in position to succeed by recruiting bums at receiver like Auburn traditionally has. I'll just say it, okay? And I'm not knocking anybody that's currently on. I'm just saying, over the history of Auburn, we ain't recruited anybody worth a damn at receiver. Outside of the kids, the guys that were on the 04 squad, and then our boy Slayton right now, balling in the NFL. That's it. It ain't there. So to give a quarterback some weapons, I think he has better weapons this year. I think you've got outside receivers at the outside position. Now, they're young. They're young, but it's better than having a 5'9 slot guy that in a game versus Georgia is running a fade route on the outside trying to get a jump ball. Was never going to work. That's just how bad it was. PT put the ball on him. That's all he can do. PT put the ball on Rivaldo Fairweather.
Yeah.
First Alabama. That's all he can do. So, to be fair to whoever the quarterback is, the scheme's got to be right. I mean, how can I even blame Peyton Thorne for his performance versus Ole Miss? How? I can't. Because quarterbacks are being switched out in the middle of drives on 3rd-and-1. Multiple times in the season, we switched out quarterbacks only to false start and go to 3rd-and-6. I would have thought after the first time you did it, you wouldn't do it again. And you did it again. So I'm not going to be mad at Peyton Thorne for that. I can't be. No more than I could be mad at Robbie Ashford for that. Do I think Robbie Ashford is going to go win the job in South Carolina and do all this kind of thing? Nope. But the point I'm making is nobody that's played quarterback at Auburn has been put in the right position. And to Hugh's point about his scheme to running the RPOs, to the percentage of run-to-pass ratio that he wants to have it, it's all got to set up right with outside receivers. that can win one-on-one matchups. If that can happen, then this thing can open up. If the quarterbacks can actually have some time, tell me the last time a quarterback's had consistent time to stand in a pocket and scan the field at Auburn University. And if he so think about this. He doesn't have no quarterback, any of them. Just say quarterback A in the last 10 years at Auburn. No time to scan the field. And if he does have time on that rare occasion, his receivers aren't winning the matchups. That's why these numbers are what they are. Hugh Freeze, throughout his entire career, up until last year, was the master, or one of putting quarterbacks in position to succeed. You mentioned some of the guys that he won a lot of games with that put up numbers that didn't go to the NFL and light the world up, right? Like they didn't even make it in the league as third strings.
Yep.
But he was able, and my argument to that would be there's a certain level that you can recruit at Ole Miss. And maybe you can recruit a level up at Auburn, and maybe you can get that real dude at quarterback that's really got that whole package, and you put the system around him. And that's what I want to see, is whoever it is, put him in the best position to succeed. The way that Gus Malzahn did Chris Todd in 2009. That's all we need, bro. That's all we need with this backfield that this team has. You can count on Jarquez Hunter. I know he said he wants it 55-45. It might not get there this year. I don't think we're there yet. And Mike kind of followed up with him towards the end of the press conference, and he said that. He said, hey, I got to keep recruiting some of these receivers, man. I'm not quite there yet. So I still think you're going to lean on Jarquez a lot at times. You're still going to lean on a Jeremiah Cobb taking that next step. Damaire Austin taking that next step. We'll see what our boy Batiste's got. But it's got to be one of them things, Blake, where your quarterback does not feel like he has to do it all. It's got to be easy for him, man. Oh, look, that guy's wide open. Bang. And then if you are PT and that guy does get wide open, don't throw it 10 yards over his head like you did at A&M. It just hasn't clicked for us, man. It just has not clicked on offense. And my argument has been, starting at the people in charge of running our offense, it hasn't been set up for our players to succeed. And Gus would even take a guy like Stidham and try to put him in an offense that didn't fit him, and then like we'll try to switch it and do all this weird stuff, you know, when the whole time you're just screaming at Gus, just get the running quarterback and run your system, bro. But he was trying to do all this stuff that didn't match the personnel. So I'm hoping that Hugh being in charge this year, this is my system. This is what I want to do. Let's see how it makes the quarterbacks look. Let's see how it makes them look like.
A lot's riding on it. I tell you that, like I said earlier, you can't go out there and lose to Cal and Arkansas. I'm serious. Those have got to be games where you go in and you handle business early and you say, hey, this is a different Auburn group. All right. It's a different team. We're here to handle business on our home turf. We're going to put our foot on your throat and we're going to take you out of this game with 90,000 screaming fans, all right, down your neck. And that's how it's got to be. And you got to put it on them just like you put it on Arkansas in you know, calling Hogville or whatever they want to call it, Fayetteville. You got to end them early because they're going to be wanting payback. Just like Cal, you beat Cal on the last drive. They're going to be wanting payback.
Yeah.
All right, those are two teams. Cal got better throughout the year. They ended up going to a damn bowl game. All right, so – they're going to want their lick back. And you got to win both of those. And then we can start thinking about Oklahoma and possibly, you know, getting that one. And then we can look towards Athens. All right. But it starts with PT. And I know a lot of people are against it, Dustin. I know a lot of people don't want to hear it. But he was brought here for a reason. All right. He was brought here from Michigan State for a reason. And he's going to get every opportunity to win that job. So get behind him. Get behind him. I've had my doubts and I've said my things. And I saw in the comments of, like I said, the effort in Baton Rouge, him stepping out on the fourth down, that irked me. All right. Because Dustin knows, and a lot of you know that I like to compete. And when I see things like that, I just want to say, hey, what are we doing? Like, where's our mental at? You know, it's fourth down. Right, you know they're one of the best. We can't give the ball back to their offense because they got the best quarterback in the country on their sideline. So I gotta see him improve, and that's my biggest thing is, can he make that next step?
Yeah, Martin says I wouldn't sleep on Cal. We barely won last year. Martin, I would say this: Auburn has lost 4+ games every year since the kick six. Auburn has lost at least 7 games in the last 3 years. Auburn has not had a winning season in the last 3 years. Auburn lost to New Mexico State, Maryland last year, and like you say, barely won at Cal. Auburn cannot sleep on Alabama A&M coming out the gate. I'm telling y'all, y'all are not going to like my preseason predictions when it comes that time. I am in a straight-up show-me mode. So, yeah, I'm not picking Auburn to win any football games. Not pretty much to lose some of these games, but like, you just got to show me, bro. You got to show me. So yeah, Auburn is not in a position to sleep on anybody. They could sleep on me and Blake coming out there playing flag football.
Like, hey, I hate it, but that's how it is. That's the reality, you know?
Yeah, we've been playing piss poor football for a long time now, and y'all all know that. Miss Crotchfeld's in the building saying football talk on the phone and baseball on the TV. It's getting tight, Miss Crotchfeld. It's getting tight. Something needs to happen. We need a big hit because the pitching is doing their job tonight. Only one run on the board, but the bats have gone quiet. We can't have that. But we appreciate you tapping in and supporting us the way you always do. P-Pass says, I showed up sick. I wouldn't trade it with everything. He's talking about going up there to Nashville for the bowl game. Brett was there as well. He said it was lit the night before. Tiger Walk was dead. Players had no emotion. Yeah. And we'll definitely use this in a second because Hugh made a comment about culture, and we'll definitely talk about that, Brett, because I think that's a big part of it. Daniel says, when Thorne leaves next year, does Hugh go for the portal? This is my prediction. I think that at some point, I think you're going to go to the portal this spring because somebody's going to leave. Somebody's going to leave. Now, I think it's going to look as much like we're going to be holding, and I think that – but I think somebody will leave that doesn't win the job this year, so it either comes out of – Holding or Hank, right, at that point, unless somebody balls out and then they take Peyton Thorne's job. But somebody's leaving in that room is what I'm saying, most likely, and I think he will bring in a piece. And if he does, Blake, I think it'll most likely look like what Bama did last year. Maybe something better than what they brought in that Buchanan kid or whatever his name was, but a depth piece, right? Like an arm. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to – because I just don't know if that guy's out there. Like, is just a surefire – this is that dude. Is that guy going to come available in the spring portal? Because remember how Peyton Thorne got to us? He lost his job at Michigan State. Like, like these guys are not out there. This is superstar quarterback. Like, it doesn't really happen.
Guys don't leave, like, in that second portal window. If you're starting, you're staying, you know? And that was the thing at Michigan State. They chose to go with the young kid, and they kind of told Peyton, hey, like, you're no longer needed. You know, good riddance. And hello, he's at Auburn. So I'm with you there. I just don't think that guy that we just all, how everybody overreacts on Twitter. That's him. You know, there he is. Even Hugh was making fun of that last year. Yeah. Hugh was like, hey, why does everybody get on Twitter and at me and say, oh, that's him, QB1. He's him. He's Timothy. All right. Yeah. He's not him. He's not. So. Yeah.
If he was, he wouldn't be leaving his school. so he would be chilling at the job that he had.
That's a fact.
Ray Snow said, what's up, Uptempo? Ready for A-Day from the 850. Yeah, man, me and Blake will definitely be there. So hit us up, man. Get at us on Twitter. We'll meet up with you for sure.
Yeah.
We love to meet you, Ray. Drexel says, also, a spring game is not the same as real game situations. I hear this, and I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying that, like, from a perspective. Imagine what's going to happen if PT comes out and craps the bed this A-Day and looks bad, and Hank Brown looks better, or Holden looks better, or Walker, whoever. Just imagine the perception. Imagine the storylines. Imagine what the fans are going to be saying, all that kind of stuff. I don't think it would be a good look. And then I don't think that it would instill a lot of confidence in his teammates either. I think just for the confidence of teammates, coaches, everybody, I think he needs to come out and kill it.
I can tell you what AL.com's going to do if he comes out and doesn't make it happen. AL.com's going to say, hey, Auburn's struggling at quarterback. They're terrible. This place is a dumpster fire. Alabama's the greatest of all time. Even though Nick Saban retired, they hired the GOAT 2.0. Mm-hmm. Alabama's winning the national championship. Auburn's going to the Toilet Bowl. Thank you for reading AL.com. Make sure you subscribe and pay $6.99 a month for our monthly edition. And that's what you're going to read from AL.com if Peyton Thorne doesn't play well in A-Day. There you go.
Yeah. And they'll probably they'll might dig up some personal. Maybe he stole a candy bar from somebody in the sixth grade, and they'll do some deep dive investigation journalism into that, and they'll tell us all about it. Our guy Daniel says you can thank Malzahn and Harsin for that. Look, I hear you. There's a lot of stuff going back to why we are what we currently are as a program. I think that Malzahn made just a terrible decision in hiring some offensive line coaches that he hired. One really stands out in particular that really kind of sent us down the wrong path. Recruiting on the defensive line kind of slacked up, and then picking Sean White over Lamar Jackson. Boy, oh boy, you missed there. Tim the Toolman Taylor asked, do we have any of these leaders in the locker room right now? I would tell you that we do, but the question is, are they at quarterback? There's one at quarterback, I can promise you, but he ain't going to be ready this year.
Yeah. Valdo, I think, is an outspoken leader.
Yeah.
Look, I think Connor Lue's got to take that step I think he is taking that step of being an outspoken leader, an anchor on that offensive line. I think you're looking at a guy that wants to be more vocal this year. Maybe last year, you know, he was new to things, new to college football, new to that starting role, kind of maybe a little shy to be outspoken and things like that. You're the guy now. And we saw it last year, and we're expecting big, big things this year. So be that vocal leader, be that anchor. And I think you're hearing him step up. And that was the identity that we didn't have last year. We heard it. We didn't have guys in the locker room want to step up. And when people did want to step up and say something, there was some tantrums that went down and everything, you know. So, like, that's how it goes. And I think that's what Valdo spoke to, is he said, hey, a lot of people got away with stuff that they shouldn't have got away with. And there was pity parties and, oh, well, you know, I'm not getting to play here and here and here. And we can't have that anymore. That's how teams go 6-7. And I want to play opposite roles with the team across the state. I want to be in the Rose Bowl. I want to go back to Pasadena and play in the granddaddy of them all with a chance to play for the big one. All right. I want to be in those games. And I think it starts inside that locker room. I really do.
Where we're supposed to be, man. Yep. That's where we're supposed to be. And I don't think that there any realistic Auburn fan out there, you don't have crazy expectations. No one's saying, who's got to have us in playoff contention every single year. And I'll take my 9-3s with the schedule that we play. I'll take an 8-4 if injuries happen and, you know, just this wasn't the year. We were really young at certain spots and it just kind of went downhill. I can accept that. It gets old when it's 7 years in a row, like it got with Gus Malzahn. That's why, yeah, you know, he had to go, because A was like, all right, we're doing 8-4 with you, brother. That's just what we're going to do. So it's just where we belong, man. And when you talk about like why the fan base is so hungry, it's because we remember what that felt like. We've been in those games, and up until, I mean, if you really want to look over like the last 100 years of Auburn football, man, you got to go back to find a stretch this bad. This is all time now. This is all time. And he was asked just kind of about the culture, Blake. You know, we did an episode about 2 weeks ago, I believe, kind of talking about the culture and just how it has to change at Auburn. And before I played this clip, he was also asked at the very end, I thought it was a great, great question. He got asked the last question in the press conference. What did being around Bruce Pearl in the SEC basketball championship this weekend, seeing the team win that, kind of what did he take from that? And he said, hey, these guys like to play together. He said they like to play together. They all sacrifice minutes to be successful. And he said, there's going to be a time sometime this summer where I'm going on a 2-day golf trip with Bruce Pearl, and we're going to sit down over a fire one night, and he's going to explain to me how he got the kids in this day and age to do that. And so, Hugh, I encourage you to do it. masterful work by Bruce Pearl this year. But here's Hugh Freeze talking about the culture at Auburn and just kind of the progress he thinks that it's making.
Man, that it continues one way or another, and it's player led. And I've got a culture council meeting today at 2 before we start meetings, and they'll give me the most recent update of how that's going. They have a better pulse on all of those little things probably than I. So I'm anxious to hear how that's going. From our enrichment team, it's been good thus far. The academic piece, the doing the little things, whether it's training table, locker room, all of that has been fairly positive. It's not perfect yet, but we're certainly striving to get it that way, and I look forward to hearing kind of their view on it today.
All right, Blake. So it sounds like he feels a little bit better than he did last year, because he was pretty open last year. I told about the receivers earlier. He was open and saying, I thought these receivers have been struggling. This is going to be a problem. And it was. He talked about the culture last year. He said, I don't know if this is quite where it needs to be yet. You could pretty much tell he wasn't really happy with it. This time around, it seems like he's a little bit more optimistic in the way things are going. And Blake, I think a big part of that is the energy that this 2024 recruiting class has brought. I think these guys have brought it. I think they've shown the old guys, I better bring it today, or young cat's going to take my spot. I'm going to tell you the names that he said on defense, Blake, and I'll get your thoughts. He said Amaris Williams, Jamonte Wilder, Malik Blockton, Joe Phillips, and DJ Barber. And then he mentioned Tyler Scott, Colton Hood, and Sylvester Smith. What do all those guys have in common?
Hey, it sounds like they're all young. So, look, here's the thing with the culture, and in my opinion, is we heard last year that when Hugh decided to go try to flip the roster in the portal, we heard that when these guys started coming in, there was some questions from the current roster saying, hey, what about us? Like, you're going to get all these guys, but what about us? Like, you don't believe in us? Well, we're not good enough? Is that what you're saying? Like, you're going to get these cats. We're just not good enough. And I think there was that hostility in the line in the locker room of, oh, well, you're the new guy on the block. You come from the portal. But I've been here. You know, you ain't going to take this away from me. I think that could have had a little bit to do with last year and guys just saying, man, I don't want to listen to him. Like, he didn't recruit me. I think that goes on at a lot of places. And I think that we had some guys that just didn't give a piss. No. I think we had some attitudes that just said, hey, look, I'm out of here. Like, I don't care. I don't care about going to workouts. I don't care about showing up to practice on time. I'm out of here. So if you watch these kids outside, if you watch them on social media and everything, sometimes you could just tell, like, hey, something was off. And I think this year you didn't go to the portal. You didn't really get heavy into the portal. You didn't go out and grab this kid, this kid, this kid. And you didn't have to say, hey, look, we suck. All right. I had to go do all this in the portal for us to be competitive. You didn't have to say all that stuff this year. And all these guys, they've already played for you once. All right. So you're coming back, you're returning, and they're saying, hey, look, this guy, he believes in us. All right. He's got faith in us that we're going to lead us back to something. We're going to lead us back to a winning season. And these young guys, they get it. They understand it. And I know everybody looks at Auburn. Like, I'll tell y'all something. On Facebook the other day, when Auburn won the SEC tournament title, I put on there, I said, SEC tournament champs, War Damn Basketball, best team in the state of Alabama. First comment, you're a basketball school. All right? So to that, I said, that's crazy. I said, because there's only been 14 programs since the year 2000 that have played in a national championship game. All right. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. In 23 years, there's only been 14 programs play for a national title. That's wild. All right.
You did it twice, so it's not a fluke. You did it twice.
Eight of those 14 did it twice. Bro, that's crazy. You did it twice, Dustin, since the year 2000. So, yeah, you can sit here and call us a basketball school, and we're having great success in that, and I'm damn proud of each person on that staff and on that team. But Auburn will never, ever be a basketball school. Ever, period. I love Auburn baseball with all my heart. I ride or die. But we'll never be a baseball school. We will never care about Auburn softball before we fill up Jordan-Hare Stadium with 90,000 people on a Saturday in the fall. Don't care. Hey, I sat in 100 degrees to watch Penn State blow the doors off of us with 90,000 screaming Tiger fans. That's just how it is. And, you know, I think Hugh feels that. I think he understands it, and he's got to send a message. And I think these young guys have responded to that message, and they're pushing the older guys. They're saying, hey, we're tired of being terrible. Like, we're tired of getting made fun of. We're tired of getting on social media and seeing fans, other fan bases like Ole Miss make fun of us. All right. I saw Damari Austin, a fan from Ole Miss, said something and was like, yeah, we've clapped that twice back to back. And somebody added Damari and was like, bro, you see this? And he was like, noted, we see it. Like, don't worry. Don't get it twisted. All right. The guys, they get on social media. They see that stuff. So these young cats come in with all this hype, like Dustin was saying, and they're saying, hey, it ain't no more losing. There's no more getting beat by 40. All right. It's different. Cam Coleman could have went anywhere in the country, and he chose to come to you, a school that ain't put out a wide receiver that's worth a damn in years. And he chose to come to you. He could have went to Alabama. He could have been a Julio. He could have been teamed up with Ryan Williams on the other side, and they could have put up 70 points a game. But he chose Auburn. He chose Auburn. Out of all of this, we've been terrible. 6-7, 5-7. And he chose us, dog. And he's getting in the locker room and he's saying, hey, I'm sick of it. So each senior, junior, upperclassman, I'm tired of losing. There's got to be a stop. All right. There's got to be an end to it. And it starts now. Austin Keys, I look at Austin Keys this year. All right. I look for him to be a leader, dog. Eugene Asante, leader. All right. Those are two guys in that middle that I want to be leaders. You at that linebacking core, leaders. You take that defense, because that's all I'm hearing right now is we got young bucks in the secondary. All right. We're young here. We're young there. We ain't going to be able to stop the run. Fuel to the fire, dog. Let that defense eat. Be those guys. Be the motivators. I don't want to go back to the Music City Bowl, Dustin. I really don't. I don't want to get made fun of going to the Birmingham Bowl, dog. I don't. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. If anything, get me to a Sugar Bowl, all right? Get me to something that – a Peach Bowl. I'll take a Peach Bowl, all right? A Cotton Bowl. Let me be Mizzou this year. Let me be Mizzou. Get me to a Cotton Bowl. I'm tired of it, Dustin. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, we all are, brother. You know, one thing I'm thinking about when you're talking there too, if you talk about guys returning on this team, if you're a returner, I don't want to hear anything about you not being bought in.
Yeah.
Because you've had 17 portal windows. And you've had a whole season, right? You've had a whole year to find out what this coach is about. You know what Hugh Freeze is about. You know what the expectations are. There should be none of this. I don't want to hear any more of that kind of stuff. You've had your opportunity. If you came back, you need to be bought in. And I'll close out with this. Cam Coleman, everyone freaked out, rightfully so. the night we lost to New Mexico State and Cam Coleman left at halftime. He's on Auburn's practice field, despite however we felt that night about how that recruitment was going to go. Because if you looked at that and said, he ain't coming here, don't blame me for thinking that. And yet here he is next spring on our team in orange and blue, making plays in practice. So as frustrated as we all were that night, Cam Coleman didn't give a damn about the final score of that game. Bryce Kane didn't matter to him because he, in their head, oh, that ain't happening when I get there. They all bought into the message. This is something we talked about all season last year when we talked about recruiting, was it was consistent. Everybody was saying the same thing after they committed. It was the same line across the board. They all bought the message. And Hugh did a great job of telling them, don't look on the field this year. I'm not selling you on the wins this year. I'm selling you on what you can come in and do. So Bryce Kane, and I'm not knocking Jay Fair, and I think Jay Fair will have a good season, but Bryce Kane don't give a damn that Jay Fair is established in the slot. He don't care because he's looking at Jay Fair's numbers going, yeah, I'll get that. And that's the way all these guys are going to think. And when I hear about these guys down here, you know, Amaris Williams, Jamonte Waller, Malik Blockton, and Joe Phillips, these are dogs, okay? Certified dogs that every school in the country want. So now you got dogs coming in that are bought in. When you watch Georgia, after they win a national title, what do they say, Blake? They say, you guys told us that we weren't going to do it. You guys told us we were going to go 4-8. I've seen Georgia hold up a national championship trophy, a back-to-back national championship trophy, going, nobody believed in us.
Yeah.
That is the biggest load of bullshit that anybody's ever sold. But Kirby sold it to them.
That's a fact.
And they bought it. I don't know about everybody on this team, but I think that a lot of that class that Hugh came, that his, the class, Harsin's class, but you know, Hugh kind of wrapped it up and was obviously able to get the Connor Lewis, the Kay and Lee's, the Keldrick Fox, really the guys that contributed if you look at it. But he was able to pull those guys in that last cycle there and still bring home a solid class, definitely considering the mess we had went through with Harsin. It really was a fantastic job that Hugh did. I think a lot of those kids, the Tyler Scotts, the Colton Hoods, the Sylvester Smiths that he talked about, now they're a year under the belt, they're bought in. We heard nothing but good things about them last year, Blake. Yep. I remember last year, me and you would check. Hey, man, what's going on? What are you hearing? What's going on? And then we'd get back with each other before we would record. And I'd say, what names did you get? Young guy, freshman. About working hard, doing the right things. Now you're hearing the same thing with this class, his first full class.
Yep.
That's a big part of the culture, man. You can't snap your fingers and make this happen. He's got to identify guys that he wants that can be bought in. He talked about it today. He said, I just kind of sat back because we had a big, big recruiting weekend this weekend. And he sat back and said, I sat there and I just watched and observed. Just watch and see how they interact with each other. And I'm just evaluating, scoping personalities, seeing what's what. He knows what he wants, man. And it's not all on the field. And if you look on the field, who the hell didn't want Jamonte Waller or Malik Blockton or Joseph Phillips? Everybody wanted them. I mean, Hugh just stuffed Kirby in a locker if you go follow the way that Joe Phillips recruitment went. Just did work to the man. And that's the best recruiting coach in the country right now. So just give it some time for these guys that want to win at Auburn to get in. The guys that are bought into the message. And if you're a lingerer, and you ever come across this podcast, I'm going to tell you again, you're going to have probably 8 more portal windows between now and July the 4th, okay? So hop up in one of them if you ain't about this action. Because we need everybody bought in. What was the slogan in 2010, Blake, last time we held that trophy up? Family all in, right?
Family all in, that's it.
That's what it takes, man. It's corny and you know, we say the family thing and then we fight and all this kind of stuff. And it makes it seem like it's not even a real thing at times. But, man, it just seems to me like the only time that we ever actually accomplish anything is when we're all bought in together. Players, coaches, fans, the whole deal. I think if we all band together, man, top 15 program all time. I mean, this is not, these expectations are not accidental. These are earned. So before we get out of here, Blake, I'm going to get over here and check out a little bit more of the comments. Let's see. Our guy Drexel says, also, a spring game is not the same as real game situations. I mean, I hear you, brother. You don't put much stock into the spring game. I'm just telling you that this was going to matter. This was going to matter for some position battles. It's going to matter for perception of a lot of guys.
Yep.
And when you Hugh Freeze, after the way that season ended, this 8A needs to look clean. And I would also make the point, Drexel, that the way that the last one looked, you only did three quarters, and I know it was in a storm. People are going to get in the comments and say, it was storm. I know. I still don't think they took.
Dustin, you with me?
Baby.
Okay. All right.
We here? We back?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, okay. Sorry about that, everybody. My screen went black for a second. I think it's because Auburn crossed home plate and the weather is – we finally scored and my internet crashed. But, no, yeah, I'm looking at my signal here. I'm definitely good. I'm definitely fading out. You want to bring us home, baby?
Yeah, I'll bring us home. Look, this chat is popping over here tonight. And we're talking about UGA basketball over here in this thing. We're talking about Kirby. We're talking about Auburn baseball, Dustin. All right. We finally tied it up 1-1 against South Alabama.
There's going to be a bad one out there, Blake.
Had to screenshot Dustin's face. Miss Angela. She's a good one. She is so much fun and such a great personality. Crashed on his own internet. I love the comments, man. It's really popping. Look, I think that's one fun thing. I want to give a shout out to the fans of this show that join us every Tuesday night and join us every episode. Is when while we do wind this down, is we appreciate each and every one of you, and we always hear like we appreciate the passion you guys have for Auburn. Well, we appreciate the passion that each one of you have for Auburn as well, and we appreciate everything, like you coming in here and spending your Tuesday nights with us and listening to us talk about what we're hearing and who we think could be the next stars of Auburn football, Auburn basketball, you know, Auburn baseball. It means the world to us, honestly. And we put in a good bit of time doing this stuff. And like Dustin, we're starting a gaming network. All right. Ike and the guys over at the War Report have us on a gaming network, and Dustin's over here pushing out gaming content and NCAA talking about the new game that's coming out. Dylan over at their podcast, The College Loop, he's putting out content as well on that same page, and I'll be playing the show. I played it a little bit earlier for, you know, maybe 30 minutes that I had time to actually sit down and take a breath. I played it a little bit, and I'll be dropping a video on it and, you know, talking about Diamond Dynasty and all that good stuff. So time goes into it. We do a lot of stuff, and it's all, you know, Auburn on here, but we're also giving you more content if you want to go to that gaming side. And to our members, Dustin, look, the game day group chat is absolutely popping, and it's one of my favorite things throughout the day is just seeing these people and their passion for Auburn. Like us, and it's fun to get in and look. We don't always agree. We don't That's always right. Get in there and say, hey, you know, hey, Auburn by 90 and all of this stuff. All right. Sometimes we get in there and we say, hey, you know, Auburn's playing like trash, and somebody might say, well, I think they're playing pretty good. And then, hey, you know, we're debating. Oh, where do you stand on it? Where does he stand on it? Where does she stand on it? And it's a fun time, you know? So that's how I wanted to go out tonight. Is I just wanted to thank each and every one of you, from the super stickers to the super chats to the comments to the likes on the videos, the shares on the videos. We see it all, and we appreciate each and every one of you. It means the world to us. War damn Eagle.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you popping in, Devin. You were, like Blake talked about, you're one of those supporters. Yeah. You've been with us from day one. We love you and appreciate you. I co-sign everything Blake said. You guys are the best. Before we do get out of here, man, if you follow Blake on Twitter, he has posted our bracket challenge. So get over there before the NCAA starts. Get over there on Blake's Twitter at the Uptempo Pod. You see it right there. I've retweeted it as well. You can get on mine. Get in there. It's a $10 entry free. Get in there. Fill out your bracket. Let's get this thing popping. Somebody gonna win some money, baby. And I put mine on the Tigers.
I think we're at like 15 brackets, if I'm not mistaken, when I last looked at it.
Let's go.
Yeah, 15 in it. Look, it's $10. So one entry. I've got my Venmo and Cash App on there. You send it to me. You don't have to pay right away. All right. I know how times are in today's world. It's tough. And I know it's $10, but $10 is $10. And not everybody's got it right out of the gate. So you pay up before the national championship, and we'll get the winner their earnings as soon as the clock hits zero of the national championship. I will Venmo or Cash App you the money. And that's how we're going to run it, Dustin.
Yes, sir. Excited about that. Also, guys, y'all know the deal. Barnes Supply Company. Want to shout out to Barnes Supply Company. Thank y'all for sponsoring the show and supporting us. The link is in the description. Hop on over there, man. Get you some fresh gear for A-Day. And like I said, man, if you're at A-Day, come up to me and Blake and holler at us. Don't be scared to talk to us. I get some people come up to me and talk to me for 20 minutes, and I get some people that'll message me on Twitter and be like, hey, man, I saw you at the game, but I was scared to walk up to you. And I definitely get that. I definitely do. One time I was at Tiger Walk, and like Cadillac, like, was with his kid and like walking by me. And I had this moment of like, yo, that's Cadillac. But then like, he's clearly like talking to his kid. Like there was something he was telling his kid, and it just wasn't the moment for me to slide in and be like, Cadillac. Like,
yeah,
I just didn't. So I get it, you know, but don't be scared, man. Walk up, and I'm not Cadillac Williams. So don't take it like I'm not. You come up to me, man. Say hey to us. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, there was people at the baseball game in Jacksonville that come up and said, hey, how you doing? We sat there and talked for 5-6 minutes and we had to go over to that concession stand and get some of that food and watch some baseball. Tanner, I see you, bro. I see you. Hey, let's set it up for this weekend so we can be stress-free. We don't have to worry about going to work tomorrow and all this good stuff. We might have something going on, and we can be stress-free Friday night, Saturday, whenever, and we can get on MLB The Show. I'm already grinding Diamond Dynasty, so
I got all my – I spent a little bit of money today. A little bit of money today to stream these games, and I got mine downloaded as well. So we got a tons of content coming out over there on that gaming channel. Check that out if you are a gamer. Thumbs up button. Subscribe to the channel if you have not. To our members, I've got the recruiting video on Dice, the offensive line commitment, and then the Watch the Film coming up from the SEC tournament. I will be recording those tomorrow for you guys. Like I told y'all in the group chat, we're cooking behind the scenes here, so we've been a little busy. But we love and appreciate all y'all, man. War Dan Meagle, we'll catch you guys at the end of the week.
War Dan, baby.